is Age of Treason Radio. With your host, Tan Stoffel. Fear and Loathing and Treason, Part 2. Now, Kevin MacDonald wrote an article, also triggered by this boat and Swedish politicians' response to the boat thing, and he titled it, What's Wrong with the Swedes and So Many Other Whites? He writes, another in the unending list of suicidal behavior by Swedes, this one by Cecilia Wikström, an MEP for the center-right, Liberal Party, who is concerned about the recent drownings in the Mediterranean of Africans attempting to invade Europe. Note that, once again, the Holocaust is front and center stage as a paradigm requiring Westerners to engage in pathological altruism and embrace diversity and their own dispossession. That's relatively good from MacDonald. I don't like the use of his of the word suicidal there, but at least he calls them invaders, calls them Africans. I also don't like the pathological altruism thing. I think it's similar to suicide. It's a misnomer. It's a misunderstanding of what's happening. More about that in a minute. He also kind of jumps right over the Holocaust there. He mentions it, but he doesn't emphasize the central importance of the Jews. In fact, you know, by saying what's wrong with the Swedes and that this is suicidal behavior by Swedes, he's sort of covering the Jewish role in it. This is not just Swedes putting a gun to their heads and pulling a trigger. This is Swedes who say, I'm going to put a gun to every other Swede's head because of the Jews, because of this Holocaust, because of what Swedes stood by and did nothing while the poor Jews were, whatever, soaped and lampshaded. That's how different from suicide it is. That's not suicide. And it's not pathological altruism either, really. But anyway, he quotes right the first paragraph that, from that article that I previously read. I skipped over this paragraph before. Let me read it now. A Swedish MEP is stepping up a pan-European cross-party campaign for legal and safe routes to Europe for migrants in the wake of the latest Mediterranean boat disaster. Cecilia Wikström has told the local that EU member states are currently doing so little to help guarantee safe passage that future generations will compare their actions to Sweden, quote, turning a blind eye, quote, unquote, to the Holocaust. MacDonald continues right after quoting that. He says, actually, it might be a bit further on. You know, he gives some examples of this supposed suicide of a bunch of people who are actually exhibiting pathological behavior and maybe even quite literally killing themselves or doing things that are self-destructive, I should say. But they're not people who really hold power. They're just sort of reacting to this zeitgeist around them, this anti-white zeitgeist. They've imbibed the poison and they're dying from it. It's quite different from Wikström, who is advocating the use of poison. There's a distinct difference there between people who have political power and people who are just being affected negatively by it. Again, back to my point earlier about how racialists will often make such a distinction in the case of Jews, but they won't make a distinction for white people. A little further in his article, MacDonald writes, such thinking is not confined to a single Swedish politician or only to Africa. Sweden has already announced in 2013 that all Syrians will be admitted as refugees because of the ongoing civil war. Even though the war will be over at some point, these refugees have been granted permanent residence in Sweden. What is it about the Swedes that makes them so self-destructively generous as to adopt policies that will make them a minority in a land they have settled for well over 8,000 years? Well, the short answer to that is Jews. The MEP put it right in her rhetoric. It's about doing what's best for the Jews and other aliens to Sweden. So that's what's wrong with the Swedes. And moreover, McDonald knows that or should know it. The article he links when he says that in 2013 about the Syrians coming, if you go and you read it, it's a BBC article that says Sweden's asylum offer to refugees from Syria. The title is from October 2013. The one opponent to the policy that they quote in the article they write about here is from the Sweden Democrats. It says, the far-right party, the Sweden Democrats, with 20 MPs and around 10% of support in opinion polls, is highly critical of this policy of the refugees, the Syrian refugees. Quote, we think it's absolutely ridiculous, unquote, argues party spokesman Kent Ekeroth, standing in a light drizzle outside Parliament. No conflict is permanent, but still we give them permanent residence. The Sweden Democrats, shunned by other political parties, will campaign against generous asylum support for Syrians in European and national elections next year. Quote, for one immigrant that comes here, we could help hundreds, maybe thousands of people in and around Syria with food, with medicine, with everything, unquote, Mr. Ekeroth says. So it's actually an inhumane policy to bring them here to Sweden. Again, I'll point out, this is an argument in favor of or based on the rationale, the morality of what's best for the non-Swedes is what's best. What's good for them is good. What's best for the Swedes isn't even being mentioned, even by this far-right representative, the false opposition that's being presented here. So it's really no wonder that this is happening in Sweden. Well, who is this Ekeroth guy anyway? You look at his picture, and he doesn't look Swedish. He looks alien himself. I thought to myself, I wonder if Ekeroth is a Jew. Sure enough, when you look up Ekeroth, he is a Jew. Kent Ekeroth was born to a Jewish mother from Pavlodar in Kazakhstan, then a part of the Soviet Union. He arrived as a refugee via Poland to Sweden in the 1960s, together with her mother, Ekeroth's grandmother, and sisters. Ekeroth's mother was sentenced to prison and a trade ban by a Swedish court for tax evasion and accounting violation, something that has been highlighted in radio and newspapers. Ekeroth considers himself Jewish with an atheistic life stance. This is presented by the Jews media as resistance, as far right, as the unthinkable, almost neo-Nazi resistance. Is this part Jew or Jew in Sweden? Not a Swede, not a native Swede. So is it any wonder? Now, you could see this two ways. Well, see, even an immigrant, a migrant, an invader himself is trying to defend Sweden against the invasion. I think that's the wrong way to see it. This is false opposition. There are Swedes who are against what's being done. It's illegal to speak against it in the terms that I'm speaking against it here in the United States. It's illegal in Sweden to, quote, incite racial hatred, unquote, against special groups like Jews, like aliens, like non-Swedes. It is okay to advocate that Sweden should be destroyed by allowing whoever wants to come to Sweden. That's okay. That isn't an incitement to racial hatred, according to the law. Otherwise, this Swedish MEP would be afraid to speak or would be jailed for what she says. But she isn't. A little later in that same BBC article, it says, quoting a young man who calls himself Johannes, he's dreaming of the day where he can one day bring his fiancée out of Syria and to safety. He says, if we get married in Lebanon or Turkey, I think she will be able to come here, he says. Sweden is the best country for Syrians, and everyone knows it. So that's why these aliens want to come to places like Sweden, because they know that it's best for them. The only real argument, the only effective argument that Swedes or any other white people are going to have against that is, we're interested in what's best for us as a people, not what's best for you, you Syrians, you aliens, you invaders. Kevin McDonald goes on a little later in his article. He writes, can anyone find examples of non-whites behaving like this out of purely altruistic motives? I really don't know of any. Why do whites, many of our best and brightest, take such pleasure in helping people so completely unlike themselves? yes, it seems like the more unlike themselves they are, the better these people like Wickstrom seem to treat them. You've got to bend over backwards for them, the more different they are. Wilkstrom is her name. But I disagree with McDonald's take on it, that this is some sort of purely altruistic motive. Altruism is the belief in or practice of disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others. It's also used in a more technical sense in zoology to describe the behavior of an animal that benefits from another at its own expense. Now, that doesn't describe what Wilkstrom's doing. Wilkstrom is not taking a selfless concern for these migrants. She's saying that the migrants need to benefit regardless of what it does to the Swedes. And actually, quite literally, she said, I have to answer to my children and grandchildren. So she's trying to do what she thinks is best for herself and her family. It's wrong, although I'm not a member of her family. I'm a member of her extended family, her race, assuming she's European. So I'm more distant from the situation than she is, but it's not altruism. She's not giving away something of her own to these aliens. And she's giving away something that collectively belongs to Swedes, and more broadly, when she advocates that other Europeans should follow this example, she's arguing that the broader group of Europeans needs to do this as well. Not herself personally. She's not giving up her house, her life for this. If she was going to be altruistic about it, she should move to Syria and give everything that she owns, including her life, to the Syrians, where the Syrians are. That would be altruistic. That would be pure altruism. So I think McDonald's wrong about that. And let me play a clip here, because McDonald links to a video that he titled The Psychological Mechanism of White Dispossession. I think McDonald actually does understand this. This is really just a rhetorical idiom that he uses, this idea about the pathological altruism and that this is suicidal.
It's great to be here. It's a beautiful venue, and it's so nice to see so many people on board with all these ideas. As we all know, we are a small minority, but we do have as Forty was saying, we talk about the moral high ground. This is critical, I think, to our success, the eventual success of our movement. So what I want to talk about today, actually, Forty asked me to talk about these things. Psychological mechanisms related to our dispossession. And as I just saying, the moral intellectual high ground in the West is occupied by these hostile elites. And they dominate the media, and they can punish dissenters. I have been talking to people, certainly it's occurred in Sweden, it's occurred in the United States and elsewhere in Europe. People with dissident views, people with views like ours, oftentimes can't say that in public. We will lose our jobs. We will be ostracized. It happens all the time in America. Somebody will call attention to Jewish power, or they'll say something about blacks that, you know, they're less intelligent or something. So they'll blurt out something like that. And next thing you know, they've lost their job. And of course, that's a huge disincentive for other people. It's a huge example. And that's exactly what happens. So within this context, you know, it's the self-interest of whites to basically sell out their own people to go along with the current regime. And so you see people like us who, you know, we're just white Europeans, and we have these very public displays of white guilt, of how bad, you know, white culture is, how good immigration is, multiculturalism, diversity. If you want a job at a university, especially as an administrator, I can't even imagine getting a job like that without pledging allegiance to diversity, pledging allegiance to multiculturalism, talking about how you want to increase diversity in the student body, and so on. That's sort of what you have to do to get those kinds of jobs. That's what's necessary for career advancement. In short, our dispossession is massively incentivized. I mean, that there are huge incentives for doing this.
Yeah, there are huge incentives for doing this. He uses the term selling out. How does that square with altruism? It doesn't. Selling out implies that they get something, that they're selling their own countrymen out and benefiting from it personally. That's not altruism. That's selling out. That's a better term for it. Pathological selling out. You know another better word for it? Treason. These people are traitors. MacDonald puts his finger on the problem, which is morality. That is really at the root of this. And getting your mind right about whose interests you're supposed to be serving, yourself, your own people, make the most sense to serve. This idea that you need to serve some other group is where the morality goes wrong. And obviously, I agree with the spirit of what MacDonald says about this altruism, if it was true, the idea that I have to sacrifice for the benefit of the most alien people. If that was what was really that what these people were really advocating, if you want to be morally clear about it, they are traitors to their people. That's really the best way to see it. That's the best way to describe it. That's the clearest way morally to describe what's going on. Not all of this wishy-washy, well, whites are, what's wrong with whites? Whites are pathologically altruistic. You know, this academic highfalutin jargon is not cutting it. The problem is morality. And in moral terms, the problem is treason, selling out. And MacDonald knows it, and he's a better man than I am speaking. He speaks better than I do. He speaks openly under his own name in public about this. In that respect, I have nothing but respect for him. But he's not thinking entirely clearly about this when he turns around after talking about what's going on, describing very well what's happening and the incentives for betrayal, and not calling it betrayal, not recognizing it as treason when it's right there. Another item kind of related in that it has to do with Jews in Sweden. Back in February, so recently, just a few months ago, 2015, Israel's ambassador to Sweden, Isaac Bachman, was on a radio program and was asked a tough question by the Swede on public radio. The ambassador said he was very happy to receive a request for an interview from Swedish public radio. The interview was to discuss anti-Semitism in Europe. No wonder he was happy. Jews are always happy to talk about anti-Semitism and how someone else is to blame for it. The surprise he got was, I went to the studio knowing that the topics that would be discussed included the recent terrorist attacks in which Jews were targeted and killed in Paris and Copenhagen, as well as Prime Minister Netanyahu's call for Jews to make aliyah, he said. That means when not Netanyahu said that Jews were welcome to all move back to Israel, to translate aliyah into English. Helena Grohl, the Swedish journalist, started the interview by asking Bachman what he thought about Netanyahu's call for Jews to leave Europe. Quote, I explained that aliyah was not part of my work here, neither before such tragedies as took place in Paris and Copenhagen or after. My job is not to convince the Jewish population to move to Israel, Bachman told the Jewish press. I said people know that aliyah is an option that is valid, one that exists and is open to them at any time. Yeah, that's right. The Jews have a homeland in Israel where they can go and live under a government that actually has the interests of Jews foremost in mind and uses deadly force to defend that country, unlike the countries in Europe where the Jews live and parasitize their European hosts. The next question from Grohl was far more problematic, according to this article. The Swedish journalist asked the Israeli ambassador, quote, do the Jews themselves have any responsibility in the growing anti-Semitism that we see now, unquote. My response, Bachman said, I told her I reject this question completely. But she did not grab this chance to move on. She failed to grab this opportunity to retreat. Indeed, Grohl kept shooting. Quote, why? When Bachman responded that there is no place for such a question to be asked. As Grohl began talking over Bachman, asking him to, quote, tell me then, explore with me, why is that a question of, unquote, Bachman finally silenced her by putting the situation in terms that she would be better able to understand. He said, his voice becoming firmer and louder until Grohl finally stopped talking. Quote, To ask the question of whether a woman contributes to being raped is irrelevant altogether. I don't think there is a provocation that the Jews are doing. They just exist, unquote. Again, MacDonald is aware that this is the Jewish answer to anyone making the point about quote-unquote anti-Semitism. The resistance to Jewish parasitism, which the Jews call anti-Semitism, as if it just arises out of nowhere, this is their official line on it, that it's not a question that deserves any sort of answer. It's not the Jews' fault at all, 0%, zero. And this is why the Jews get what they get, because they expect to be blamed for zero. Meanwhile, Europeans and even the people who ostensibly have the best interest of Europeans at heart try to take an above it all objective position and say, oh, well, something's bad's happening to Europeans. Europeans must be to blame for it somehow. We've internalized this idea that Europeans are to blame for Jews parasitizing Europeans, to the point where we won't even recognize it as such. We won't recognize that it's Jews raping Europe. This Jew actually defends Jews by saying they're the ones being raped. While Jews live in Europe and enjoy the fruits of Europe and complain that Europeans aren't doing enough for Jews, aren't protecting Jews well enough, and advocate policies that disarm Europeans, that Europeans can't even argue for their own defense in their own countries. But the Europeans should be concerned about the safety and security of Jews, according to the Jews. This is the sick situation that white people are in right now. And this ambassador for the Jews describes that criticism of that situation, even the mildest criticism, saying that maybe the Jews have something to do a little bit with people being upset at the Jews, rejects that entirely and instead describes Jews as the victims of rape. And it's like the inversion that I mentioned earlier about calling the people who are being invaded invadees, accusing them of being barbarians and being invaders if they try to lift a finger to do something about it, to prevent it. It's the same thing here, where the Jew takes on this idea that it's Jews being raped in what's happening here. Again, a couple of articles here from Britain now, some news items from Britain. It's not just Sweden where this kind of treason is going on. In Britain, there's a story here. Nigel Farage says, only middle-class white people think UKIP is racist. This is from the Daily Mail online. UKIP is only seen as racist by white people, Nigel Farage has claimed. The party leader says that he gets a, quote, unbelievable, unquote, positive welcome, unbelievably positive welcome when he meets black people. But he said, claims the party is racist have stopped many supporters, including internationally acclaimed rock stars and billionaires, from backing him publicly. And this is the part where they quote him directly. Quote, I stopped this morning to get some newspapers in a petrol station in Catford in southeast London. Everyone was black, getting petrol, buying newspapers, he said. It's unbelievable. They all wanted selfies and pictures. And the only people who think UKIP are racist are white people, middle-class white people. Come with me to a black part of South London, walk down the street, and you'll find black people going, hey man, good to see you. What he's referring to there is true. It's really just white people and Jews who he's, and many other Britons mistake as white because of their skin, are the only ones who are calling UKIP racist. That the blacks sense that UKIP is really no threat to them. I agree. I think he's right about that. I think what he's signaling here is that he's not racist, that he's not interested in defending Britons from Africans or any other kind of invaders. Quoting him again, it is self-loathing that the middle and upper classes in Britain have about themselves in this country, and they've convinced themselves that UKIP is a racist party on the basis of no evidence whatsoever, he said. Quote, these Michael Hazeltine types, they hate Britain. oh, things are done much, so much better on the continent. They've built up this narrative that UKIP is racist. Black people don't think that. Here we see the suicide meme coming through in what Farage is saying here. This idea that these whites are doing this are self-loathing, that they loathe themselves, calling UKIP racist because they hate themselves, and that they've convinced themselves of this, that UKIP is racist. And on both counts, it's wrong. When people call UKIP racist, it's not because they hate themselves. It's because they don't want to be attacked as being racist themselves. They realize that one way of doing that is by saying, I'm with the good guys. Those guys are racist. Those UKIP guys, they're racist. That's the people who are white doing that. Then there are the non-whites, the Jews and other non-whites who might appear to some people to be white who are doing that because they don't like even UKIP, even that kind of mild form. It's like the Ekeroth example in Sweden, where even the mildest resistance is presented as the farthest right neo-Nazi racist stuff, stealing the air from anything that would be authentically in favor of the natives of Europe, unlike UKIP. Presenting UKIP as if it's the next Hitler, the next National Socialist Party, is a trick. One other point that I think gets lost in the mix here of reading this just on the surface, but if you read it closely, you see what Farage is actually saying is not just that the middle class white, but he mentions the upper class, and he implicitly says the media is doing this. The media is calling UKIP racist, and that's where these white people get this idea to call UKIP racist and distance themselves from it and not vote for it. It's the media that's imposing this view on people, that's promoting it. So it's not, he knows at some level that it's not self-loathing, that they haven't convinced themselves, that they've been convinced by media propaganda to do this. Just a few months ago, there's stories about Farage being accused of being Hitler. It's really sick to see someone so weak who won't even defend Britons, as a people, from the invasion, being misrepresented as somebody who would. It's a false opposition. Now, also from Britain, another story recently in the news, and this is titled, Conservative Candidate Makes Vile Jewish Racist Slur Against Ed Miliband. This is from the Mirror online. Mr. Miliband, a Jew, who lost many relatives during the Holocaust, the Nazi Holocaust, including his grandfather, he has described himself as a Jewish atheist. This is about a woman who's not even white, another invader, who on Twitter said something about how she'll never drop low enough to support the Al-Yahud, LOL. Al-Yahud being Arabic for the Jew. And this is what this controversy is about in the Jews media in Britain. The same media that says that Nigel Farage, who is loved by the blacks because he's not any threat to them, they don't see him as any sort of threat to them. The Jewish media hates him, though, and doesn't want him in power. But when somebody calls Miliband, who is a Jew, that's race hate. And this is a reminder, a hint, it's evidence that it is the Jews who are pushing this agenda. It's the Jews who benefit from it. It's for the benefit of the Jews that the agenda is pushed, even by people who aren't Jews. That it's a racial slur against Jews to call them Jews, except when they want to be. In fact, this article links to support the idea that it's a racist slur to call a Jew a Jew. It links to a whole special section that the Daily Mirror has set up for Holocaust Memorial Day, which is all about recognizing Jews as Jews in a good way, in a way that benefits Jews. On that page is an article about Ed Miliband and how Ed Miliband uses Holocaust Memorial Day to call for vigilance against the terrible roots of prejudice. This is from January of 2015, a few months ago. Labor leader Ed Miliband today called for vigilance against, quote, all forms of prejudice, unquote. And he remembered the family he lost in the Holocaust Holocaust atrocity. Mr. Miliband, born to Jewish parents who came to Britain after the atrocity, told the Mirror, this is like Ekeroth, you know, coming, he's an invader himself, told the Mirror he wants to keep the memory of the Holocaust alive so the world learns from its tragic lessons. In an interview to mark Holocaust Memorial Day, Mr. Miliband spoke of his concerns about a rise in anti-Semitism. 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust, and today marks 70 years since the liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp in Nazi-occupied Poland by Allied forces. This is really the nub of it. Morality is at the root of it, and at the root of the moral argument is this Holocaust stuff, the Jewish Holocaust narrative, the 6 million, the lampshades, the soap, the poor Jews. How many politicians in Britain, when they run, talk about the actual Britons who are British politicians, talk about how many of their relatives were killed during the war, fighting that war, and that's why you should vote for them. That's why you should think of Britain specially, because of how many Britons lost their lives. It's really only the Jews that do that. They play the Jew card. They identify themselves as Jews and say that because they're Jews, they need to be given special consideration, special treatment. And then when you say that that's a bad thing, and when you point it out and say it's a bad thing, that's when you're punished in some way. You're fined or sent to jail. So it, again, to the point, it's not Europeans doing it to themselves. It's, I mean, maybe part of it is Europeans doing it to other Europeans on behalf of the Jews. That's probably the best way to put it. When it's not Jews doing it to Europeans on behalf of the Jews. Because there's that going on as well. In fact, I would say that's the main thing that's going on. And then some Europeans get the idea to sell out their own people and go along with the model, the prototype, the example that the Jews have set, how to talk about it, how to justify it. And it's all justified morally in terms of the Jews, what's best for the Jews. Sweden and Europe and Britain's racism, anti-Semitism and Holocaust laws were passed due to pressure from Jews and people who were thinking about the best interests of the Jews under the guise of quote-unquote liberalism, this tolerance and equality. But that's not really what it's about. It's about being intolerant. It's about inequality. And the basic inequality is to put Jews on a pedestal to make them moral superiors, as opposed to and distinct from Europeans who are put into a mental prison, if not a physical prison, as moral inferiors with no right to speak in their own defense and defense of their own kind. The point I'm trying to make is that whites who wish to fight, who wish to resist, must confront this Holocaust narrative, must confront the fact that it's a gigantic hoax, that it's a lie, that it's a libel against European people, against whites everywhere. It's the keystone of what the Jews are doing. It's the linchpin of the whole anti-white narrative. John Friend wrote an article recently I'd like to read some snippets from addressing this point. The title of his article was "Top Jewish Leader Claims Entire Western World Culpable for, quote, Holocaust, unquote." And he's referring to a speech recently that Ronald Lauder gave in that was reported in the Jewish and Israel News magazine, online magazine, algemeiner.com. And Ronald Lauder is president of the World Jewish Congress. The Jews are not satisfied with the working within the governments that exist in the world. They have their own government outside of Israel and in their host countries. The World Jewish Congress is one of the main examples of that. What John Friend writes is very well put, so let me read some pieces of this. Lauder is basically indicting and condemning all of Western civilization for allegedly not doing enough for Jews prior to and during World War II. That's the same as that Swedish politician, by the way, and in very much the same terms. that she put it. In other words, she's thinking Jewish thoughts and speaking on in terms of what's best for the Jews. Lauder, it's understandable. He's a Jew, so of course he's going to speak in terms of what's best for the Jews. But the Swede is a traitor. That's the way to see her. Friend continues here. When, in reality, the war waged against Germany and her allies by the British, Americans, and Soviets was fought at the behest of and for organized Jewry's benefit. It was a Jewish instigated fratricidal war against the one nation, National Socialist Germany, that was openly defying and exposing Jewish internationalism, communism, and plutocracy, pushing for a, quote, new world order, unquote, on every front imaginable. A little further on, he writes, The lessons of the Holocaust, unquote, which include tolerance, diversity, anti-racism, and multiculturalism, are specifically designed to erode, delegitimize, and ultimately destroy white racial identity, justify multiculturalism and massive non-white immigration into the West, and end all criticism of Jews and the Jewish state, in other words, anti-Semitism, equating such criticism with, quote, hate speech, unquote. Very well put by friend. And you should see how this is related to this boat crisis thing. This is the morality, the poisonous anti-white, anti-European morality behind the Jews media rhetoric that we see 24/7 in the mass media fed to most white people. So it's no wonder that some of them start to parrot it, and that the ones who parrot it, because of the power that Jews hold, are the ones who are promoted to positions of power in the supposed European governments. Friend writes, what the organized Jewish community fears most of all about Hitler was the fact that he accurately, articulately, and boldly exposed the Jews and their destructive, parasitic, and subversive nature. Hitler's Germany made, quote, anti-Semitism, unquote, in other words, basic truths about the Jews and their agenda, mainstream in Germany. Everyone was expected to understand the Jewish problem, and most did. More than anything else, organized Jewry fear the masses waking up to and clearly recognizing the truth about the Jews, their crimes, their insidious power and influence in the West, and their subversive, destructive overall agenda. I'll wrap up here by trying to answer this question that McDonald asked. What's wrong with whites? What's wrong with whites is whites have a Jewish problem. What's wrong with whites that they don't recognize this problem? They refuse to face the fact that they have a Jewish problem. Or even the ones who pay lip service to the fact that there is a Jewish problem don't call it a Jewish problem. They talk about Jewish influence, Jewish power, but they hesitate to actually name Jews as an enemy, to recognize that Jews aren't white, that they're alien, that they're hostile, that they're enemies of whites, and that they're waging a one-sided war against whites, that there really is no retaliation. There's very little resistance in this war from coming from whites, not even rhetorical resistance. Instead, some of our supposed leaders talk about how there must be something wrong with white people, that we're just not responding. They themselves don't respond appropriately. Instead, what's going on is that whites are allowing Jews to dictate morality. And this is a long-standing problem. In a word, Christianity, it goes back that far. And at this point, 2,000 years on, it's really not surprising that at least some whites have internalized this Jewish morality and are regurgitating the Jewish point of view about themselves and about the world. It's poison that's killing whites. Jewish poison. That's what's wrong with whites.